The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, just a little programming note. I will not be doing a show on Friday or Monday because I will be in Phoenix over the weekend hitting the studio with the homie Lex. Going to be working on my 7th solo album. Going to be recording all the vocals for that. So I will not be able to take care of some shows. So we're going to be cramming in a lot in today's show since I will not be doing Friday's show. I'm going to go ahead and do... the power rankings today, and then also the week 10 preview as well. Usually the Wednesday shows are pretty quick and mostly just about the power rankings, but today we're going to actually do both of them in there so I can make my predictions on the weekend's games. So let's first start with Monday Night Football, which was actually pretty terrible if you liked offensive football. I mean, neither offense could really do anything. The Chargers did manage to score 27 points, so good on them. But it ended up being a stomping by the Chargers, 27-6. But it was mostly their defense that really held it down. Khalil Mack had 2 sacks. Joey Bosa had 2.5 sacks. And their defense as a whole had 8 sacks and 3 fumbles. And just the Jets' offense is just absolutely atrocious. I mean, they just get worse and worse each and every week. So it seemed like it was a pretty easy game for the Chargers defensively. On the other hand, though, they didn't do a whole lot offensively. Austin Eckler, he did have a pretty solid game. He scored a couple of touchdowns. But overall, it was not a whole lot of offense from either team. But hey, Chargers got the win. Now moving on to the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. Not a whole lot of changes, just because some teams were on bye weeks. And, you know, some teams continue to keep on winning. So starting off with number one still is the Philadelphia Eagles for me. They are 8-1 on the season, so they have the best record. And they are the most complete team. They're not winning in ass-kicking fashion as they were last season, but they're still beating good teams. They're still winning. I mean, that's all that matters. And I mean, really, the only, I guess, knock against them at this point in time would be Jalen Hurts just has a lot more turnovers than he did last year. But, I mean, they still keep winning. So until what they're doing isn't working, then I guess they're good. I mean, because defensively, they just are getting at the quarterbacks. They're causing turnovers. And then offensively, they're having no issue scoring. And I mean, A.J. Brown seems to just keep scoring and going over 100 yards each and every game. And then now you've got Smith getting in on it as well. So, I mean, the Eagles, still the best team in the league, at least in my opinion. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 7-2. They seem to be just hitting their stride right now. They are just spectacular defensively. They're so good defensively. They're getting at the quarterback. They lead the league in sacks. They're causing so many turnovers. They're just doing everything defensively. Then you just have Lamar Jackson having a solid season. In my opinion, he looks better than he did his MVP season. It's just there's a lot of other guys doing just as well, but the Baltimore Ravens are definitely one of the best teams in the league, in my opinion. Then at number 3 on the top 10 NFL power rankings of the Cincinnati Bengals. Overall record of 5-3, and this team is on fire. They just keep getting hotter and hotter. Joe Burrow, he seems to be working his way back from that injury. Doesn't seem to have any issues. Jamar Chase, he's been going off now. He did seem to injure himself in the last game, so he's questionable for this week's game. But I mean, either way, it really doesn't matter. To me, the Bengals offensively look really solid, but defensively, they are really, really good as well. So And also they have a really solid kicker. They're just a very reliable team who knows how to win, and this is the time of year when they really get it going. So the Bengals just keep climbing higher and higher in my power rankings. And, you know, the thing about this team, too, is it doesn't matter where they play, if it's at home or on the road. They don't care. They always play the same for the most part. And, yeah, they may be put to the test throughout some games. They might play some very close games, but in the end, it doesn't matter. They usually get the win, and they are just getting better as the season rolls on. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 7-2. Their defense is really holding it down for them, which says a lot because we're used to saying Mahomes holds it down for them, even though, of course, he's doing it as well. But, I mean, offensively, they have yet to find another offensive weapon besides Travis Kelce to really make reliable catches in the critical moments. And what you're seeing is Patrick Mahomes is just extending plays and ending up having to run in certain instances, and it's working for them. But is it going to work if they have to face off against a Ravens team or an Eagles team or, hell, even the Jaguars? The Jaguars have a really good defense, a Bengals team, you know? I mean, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Chiefs when they start getting put to the test, but they still are one of the top teams in the league. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 6-2. They are coming off of a bye week, so no movement from them at all this week. But they are just looking like a very complete team. They're getting stronger as the season goes on. They definitely have an identity, but one thing that is really a huge surprise, in my opinion, is their defense. Their defense is really, really good. So I feel like that's going to be a secret weapon for them. It come playoff time, if they do end up facing, say, like a Kansas City Chiefs or something, maybe that defense is what's going to hold it down. But so far, right now, at this point in the season, I've got the Jaguars at five. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions, overall record of 6-2. They are also coming off of a bye week, so no movement with them. They're just a very talented team that plays with a lot of heart. And they're also not scared to play on the road or at home. They will take on anybody, anywhere. And when they get knocked down, they usually get right back up. So the Lions just looking like a very solid team right now in the NFC. Then at number seven on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 5-3. They are also coming off of a bye week, so no movement from them. They are going to Jacksonville this week, though. And that's a big deal because the Niners are on a three-game losing streak. So if they lose, that's four in a row. And that's a big deal, especially, you know, they're not in a real difficult division. Yeah, the Seahawks are in there. But are the Seahawks for real? Are we really going to say that the Seahawks are going to win that division? I mean, obviously they could, but I mean, obviously the Niners are the much better team, but they are running into a buzzsaw right now. And the Jaguars are the hottest team in the league. Currently on a five-game winning streak, and I can't remember how. I think they've won like 12 of their last 13 or 12 of their last 14. They've been very consistent as of late. So, and they're going into Jacksonville, but the Niners are coming off of a bye. So we'll see what happens there, but this is a big test for them. And we'll see if they're able to get back up into the ranks and be the Niners that we're used to seeing. Then at number eight on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 5-3. And just the thing with them is they still can't win the big games that matter. They failed once again this week. So until they can play with the big boys, they can't be ranked with the big boys. Then at number nine on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Miami Dolphins, overall record of 6-3. And basically their situation is just like the Cowboys as well. They can't beat the good teams. They can beat up on the terrible teams. But once it comes to playing a really good defense or a really good team just overall, they just can't keep up. And their defense fails them in the end. But also, late in the fourth quarter and attempting on game-winning drives, you know, Tua has not been good. Once he's out of rhythm, he is out of rhythm, and he just does not look good. I mean, especially on that last drive in this previous game he played, I mean, he had a fumble that ended the drive, but he also had a couple of overthrows, and they just were terrible. They weren't even close. So you got a lot of questions about the Dolphins, but they're still, you know, a really damn good team and still got a good shot at winning their division. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 5-3. There's still a lot of questions with them. I mean, they did just get their asses beat by the Baltimore Ravens. But to be honest, I don't think they're that type of team. I think they're a very talented team. I think they're a very scrappy team. And I think they could compete and make it tough for some teams, but when they go up against a hard hitter like the Ravens, they're not going to be very successful. But they do have a lot to be happy with. I mean, overall, defensively, they're really good. Ground attack's really good. They're just not there just yet. And that was proven this week against the Ravens. All right, so now let's move on to week 10. And all my predictions on week 10, also my head-to-head matchups with Simon Ruvalcaba. This past week, I went 10-4, and that boosted up my record to 87-49. And Simon went 8-2, and that boosted his record to 85-51. So he is two games behind me right now. So we'll see where we disagree this week. Beginning with Thursday Night Football, the awful matchup. Well, Simon will be happy because he's a Carolina Panthers fan, but it's the Carolina Panthers at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Bears are a 3.5-point favorite. Wow, I guess they're just getting the home field advantage on that one because, I don't know, the Bears are just an absolutely atrocious team. And while I don't really feel like either team benefits from a win right now because it's week 10, we're at the midway point in the season, and neither one of these teams has any potential of making the playoffs. So at this point, it's really just where are they going to be in the draft next year. And, Chicago actually gets both of these picks, Carolina's pick and Chicago's pick. So that's pretty much all they're looking at right now. So I guess if you're Carolina, you got a little bit more to play for because you don't want to give them. Because right now, Chicago would actually have the second and third overall picks in the draft, and that's just because Carolina would have, I believe, the second pick overall in the draft. But these are two terrible teams, which usually means it should be a pretty good game, at least. I kind of feel like it's going to be a close game, that's going to be a battle. Who knows if it's going to be an interesting battle, but I feel like it's definitely going to be a battle. I have the Carolina Panthers winning 20-16, just because I think they're the slightly better team. They have a better defense and a much more consistent defense, even though they do have quite a few injuries coming into this game defensively. I still think they're the better defense. Bryce Young, while he's had his struggles, he's still a rookie, and he's shown his potential on how good he can be. So I still think he's growing as well, of course. But I think this is actually going to be a pretty good game for him. And then, of course, Justin Fields will not be playing in this game either. So the Chicago Bears really don't have much going on offensively outside of him. So it shouldn't really be an exciting game overall for the Chicago Bears offensively. I have the Carolina Panthers winning 20-16. And, of course, Simon also has his Carolina Panthers winning in an overtime game 26-23. Moving on to Sunday's games, we have our last international game of the season in Frankfurt, Germany. We have the Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots. This actually used to be a great rivalry, but now these two teams are just trash. And so this is probably going to be a pretty bad game, especially because New England is just getting worse and worse as the season drags on. Right now, the Colts are a 2.5-point favorite, and I just think they're the much more consistent team. I kind of feel like they're going to get their ground attack going in this one. And defensively, they're just going to really, I mean, Mac Jones is just the interceptions king at this point in time. And so I just kind of feel like defensively, they're going to go off, cause a couple of turnovers. And I have the Colts winning this one big, 27-14. And Simon also has the Colts winning this one, 21-15. Then the early games, we have the Houston Texans at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Bengals are a 7.5-point favorite. I just kind of feel like the Bengals are on a roll right now. And even though CJ Stroud is on a roll for the Houston Texans, they still are not a good team and they cannot compete with what the Bengals have going on here. I think this is going to be a very easy game for the Bengals, 28-13. And Simon also has the Bengals winning 31-24. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Saints are a 2.5-point favorite. I just really like what I'm seeing from the Saints. They seem to be getting it going offensively. Defensively, they have yet to have an issue. Minnesota, they're coming off of that big win from Josh Dobbs last week, just coming in his first game, not knowing anything, not knowing a name. in the receiving core, but he still had that big game comeback. Well, this is a different team that they're going up against. Plus, Minnesota, they've had questions all along, even when Kirk Cousins was playing. So I just feel like the New Orleans Saints, their defense is really going to just feast on Josh Dobbs. And I feel like the Saints offense is going to do just enough to keep on scoring. And I have the Saints winning this one 27-17. This is the first disagreement that Simon and I have this week. He has Minnesota winning 27-17. So we've got the same score, just different winner. Then we have the Green Bay Packers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Steelers are a 3.5-point favorite. I feel like this is going to be the ugly game of the week just because the Steelers offensively still have yet to be impressive at all. Defensively, though, they are amazing. Green Bay, on the other hand, also terrible offensively. Their defense, not too bad, but not what the Pittsburgh Steelers have. And so I just kind of feel like the Steelers are going to be at home. TJ Watt has just been going off. I kind of feel like he's just going to have a big monster game as he always does. And I feel like the Steelers are going to do just enough to get the points on the board. And I've got the Steelers winning a close one 19-10. And Simon also has the Steelers winning a close one 28-21. Then we have the Tennessee Titans at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Bucs are a half-point favorite. And it was just announced earlier this week that Will Levis is now going to be the starting quarterback from here on out for the Titans, which is a move I already said I felt like they should do. He's showing that he's got at least some promise. Not that Tannehill was terrible, but, you know, Tannehill keeps getting injured. And he's a much higher cap hit than a rookie is. So I just kind of feel like you got to move on to Levis. I like his arm. And from what I've seen in these last two games, he has a future. It definitely looks like, whereas Tannehill, it looks like they're just going to, you know, he's going to back up in case Levis gets injured. And then I'm sure in the offseason, they'll either A, release him, or B, find some type of trade partner for him, because obviously he's going to have a market. Tannehill is a solid quarterback. I just feel like Levis showed he deserves to take over as a starting quarterback at this point in time, especially with what the Titans are doing. The Titans don't feel like they're really competing for real. Kind of feels like they're just chugging along because they don't really have much of an identity. But then a team with less of an identity is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just are really not good offensively. Defensively, they're battling through a lot of injuries. And so I just kind of feel like this is going to be, I do think it's going to be a very close game, but I have the Titans winning this one 20-17. And Simon also has the Titans winning this one 23-16. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Niners are a 2.5-point favorite. I was very torn on this game just because I just don't see the Niners losing four in a row. But at the same time, the Jacksonville Jaguars look like they are a for real team. And this is a prove it type of game. They are at home, which usually means, hey, that's good for you. You've got your crowd backing you. Plus, it's in Florida, so it's probably going to be a bit more hot and humid. And you're just at home, so it's nice that way. They're both coming off of bye weeks, so they don't really have any type of advantage there. But I just, like I said, I don't see the Niners losing four in a row. And it just kind of feels like, you know, the Jaguars are on a five-game winning streak, so it just feels like both of these streaks are going to come to an end. So I have the Niners winning a close battle, 24-21. And this is the second game that Simon and I disagree on. He has the Jaguars winning 27-24. As I said, I was very torn on that game. I'm just going Niners, just because that's kind of what my gut was telling me to begin with. But I would not be shocked at all if not only the Jaguars win, but if they win convincingly, not in some like bullshit way where they just basically dominate the Niners for the majority of the game. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 5.5-point favorite. This is a division battle, so I really expect this to be a tough battle for both teams. Defensively, these are two of the best defenses in the league. And Myles Garrett has been going off this season, and that says a lot because he's been great his entire career, but this is an MVP caliber season for him. So he is just having a great year. But, you know, so is Roquan Smith on the opposing side. So I just kind of feel like this is going to be more of a defensive battle, and whoever gets the whoever wins the, you know, the little things here and there, whoever has like the least penalties, or whoever just is able to get the, you know, if we have a fourth and one and they're able to convert it or not convert it, whoever makes the big plays in the critical moments, that's what it's going to come down to. I think the Baltimore Ravens are the one of the best teams in the league, and I think they're much better than the Browns. So I do have the Ravens winning a close battle, 23-20. Would not be shocked if this one went into overtime or something of that nature. And Simon also has the Ravens winning a close one, 24-21. Then moving on to the late afternoon games, we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite. Kyler Murray is expected to make his return this week. James Conner may also make his return at running back for the Cardinals, so they may be getting a huge boost in offense, which is really what the Cardinals need. They have been one of the worst teams in the league, and while I'm not a big Kyler Murray fan, he still is a talented guy, and the Falcons are terrible. So I just kind of feel like this is a good first game for him to get going. It's a home game as well, so I just kind of feel like it's going to be a good game for the Cardinals. Because Atlanta just seems to be slipping and slipping each and every week. You know, they started off the season very hot. I mean, who knows what's going on with Bijan Robinson and the coach. I think it's very odd because Bijan Robinson was obviously the best running back in the draft this year. Every time he's played, he's made video game type like moves, and he's a rookie. I don't get why they're not playing him. And Arthur Smith, the coach, has not explained why. So it seems to be a very contentious, weird thing going on right there. And that seems to have been where the Falcons have started to fall off. So I've got the Cardinals winning big in this one, 30-17. And Simon actually disagrees with me on this one. He has the Atlanta Falcons winning a close one, 19-9. Then we have the Detroit Lions at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Lions are a 1.5-point favorite. Lions are coming off of a bye week. Chargers really, you know, defensively, they're starting to get it going, but there's really no consistency with the Chargers at all. And the Lions, it's the exact opposite. And you know, since they're coming off of a huge ass kicking, I feel like they're going to bounce back and they're going to show the world that, hey, we're for real here. And I think the Detroit Lions are going to get the win, 31-24. And Simon also has the Lions winning 34-24. Then we have the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 16.5-point favorite. The Giants are coming into this one with their third-string quarterback. So they're in worse shape than they were in week one when the Cowboys trounced them 40-0. So I'm expecting this one to be a huge ass-kicking from the Cowboys. I mean, the Giants have nothing going on. And not only is it just the third string quarterback, but I mean, the Cowboys are also coming off of a bad loss here against the Eagles. So they usually bounce back from the losses. And I feel like it's just going to be Cowboys all the way. And I've got them winning 42-7. And Simon also has the Cowboys winning big, 31-16. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 6.5-point favorite. Washington, they've sold off all their good players. They weren't a good team to begin with. They really weren't showing much in any way, shape, or form. And Seattle, while I don't believe they're ready to go toe-to-toe with the big boys, they're still a good team, and they can blow up really terrible teams. And so I feel like this is going to be a Seattle Seahawks ass-kicking all the way, 38-20. And Simon also has the Seahawks winning 24-17. Then our Sunday night football matchup is, wow, we need to start the flex scheduling this week. The New York Jets at the Las Vegas Raiders. These are two of the worst teams in the league. The Jets have one of the worst offenses in the league. Great defense, but terrible offense, and they're just hard to watch. The Raiders, it's the exact same thing. Great defense, but that offense is hard to watch, and I do not care what the fuck they did last week. They've already fired their coach halfway through the season, so no, I don't think the Raiders are going to have this great renaissance comeback of the year or any of that shit. No. Do I think they're good enough to beat the Jets? Yes, because the Jets have nothing going on offensively, and I feel like the Raiders are defensively really damn good. So I think they're going to have a field day defensively, and the Jets are just going to struggle offensively, and I have the Raiders winning 20-9. And Simon also has the Raiders winning 31-17. And then Monday Night Football is not much of a better matchup. It is the Denver Broncos at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 7.5-point favorite. And I just kind of feel like the Bills have not had a really dominating game. Like, they did play a great game against the Miami Dolphins last month. They dominated them defensively, but it wasn't one of those where they just came right out the gate and just boom, 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 where there was just like touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I kind of feel like that is going to be this week. The Broncos are not a very good team. They have yet to find any type of identity, even though they have got a couple wins under their belt. They have started to get things moving, but I think the Bills are just a much better team. Bills are at home, and like I said, they haven't had that big, big ass-kicking game yet, and I think that comes this week. I have the Bills winning 42-10. And Simon also has the Bills winning in ass-kicking fashion, 45-17. And then the teams we have on bye weeks this week are the Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Rams, the Miami Dolphins, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Moving on to the college football playoff, top 10. The top four teams are who make it into the college football playoff to play for the chance at the title. And there are zero changes this week. As a matter of fact, it is completely the same as it was last week. Ohio State at number one. They will be playing Michigan State this week. Then Georgia is at number two. They will be playing number 10, Mississippi, this week. So that's going to be a big, big game. We'll see if Georgia is able to hang on. Then at number three, we have Michigan. They have a big game as well this week. They will be at Penn State, number 11, Penn State. Then at number four, we have Florida State, and they will be playing the U this weekend. Then at number five, we have Washington, and they play number 18, Utah, this weekend. Then we have number six, Oregon. They will be playing number 20, USC, this weekend. Then we have my Texas Longhorns at number seven, Hook 'em Horns, motherfucker. They will be at TCU this weekend. And at number eight, we have Alabama. They will be at Kentucky this weekend. Then at number nine, we have Oklahoma. They will be at West Virginia this weekend. Oh, by the way, two losses in a row for Oklahoma. The only thing that I don't like about that is I really, really wanted the Longhorns to get another chance at playing the Oklahoma Sooners in the Big 12 championship. And that kind of feels like that's not going to happen now because the loser-ass Sooners lost two in a row. And they lost to Oklahoma State this past week, 27-24. So, yeah, they're 7-2 now. I don't even know how they're still in the top 10. That's kind of pathetic. And then rounding out the college football top 10, we have Ole Miss at 8-1, and they are at number 2, Georgia, this week. So we'll see where we are next week with the college football playoff. Like I said, we will not have a show Friday or Monday, but I will be back next Wednesday. Of course, if you are into gambling at all, you can find Sports Talk with Trops preferred sports books on my website, katietrop.net. Just click on the tab Sports Talk with Trop. You will see a banner at the top of that page that says Sports Talk with Trop, Trop's sports preferred sports books. Click on that. Boom. We have a few for you that you could sign up there. And gamble your life away. So I will talk to you fools next week and enjoy the weekend of sports.